Yo, what up? This your boy Ked, aka Sleeze Believe the Hype. And you already know what it is, man. We about to get into another super dope episode of the Sleeze Believe the Hype podcast. I'm 2 years post-op, over 230 pounds down, and I'm loving life. Let's get into it, man. I'm still that fat kid who loves cake. Let's go. Yo, what's happening, everybody? This is your man, Ked, and welcome to Season 3, the very first episode of Season 3 of the Sleeze Believe the Hype podcast. And yo, I already know it's been a minute, man. Y'all been in my inbox already hitting me up like, yo, where you been at? And it's been a few months, but I took a brief hiatus. I had a few other things that I was trying to get done, namely the Hype Seasonings blends. The seasoning business I launched, I did a soft launch for the Memphis City Blues Gourmet Seasoning Blend. It did very well. So I am getting ready to do the full-on launch in the next few weeks. I'm just waiting on that first batch to come out of production, and we're going to get it cracking. And I appreciate everybody who's been rocking with me on that and just trying to get a few things going on with my health as well. So we're going to jump into that a little bit later also. But I'm going to bring on my guest for the very first episode of Season 3. Y'all know her well in the weight loss community. She's large in life, a big inspiration to me with this working out, because that's something that I've been slacking on lately. We're gonna talk about that too. But without further ado, let me just bring on, y'all know her on IG as Sleeve Shan. What's happening, Shan? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. It's December. It's the end of the year. It's the holiday season. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and chop it up with me and just talk all things weight loss and everything in between.
Of course. I'm happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So definitely, of course, we know we talk everything bariatric, and I just like to get a brief bio on the people that I, talk to, so the people who might not know who you are can kind of get a brief description of who you are and, let the people know what's good.
Okay. So I'm Shan, but my full name is Shannon. I don't know what people think my name is in real life, but it's Shannon. I was sleeved August 26, 2019. So I'm coming up on 28 months post-op. And I'm like 145 pounds down.
Yo, phenomenal.
Thanks.
Definitely phenomenal. You got it down to the months. I have no idea how many months it is. I'm sitting here like subtracting in my head because I was able in 19. So you, like she said, 28 months. It's almost like with babies and shit trying to figure out, that's how people tell you how old their babies are. Oh, he's 36 months. Fuck is that? 39, 40. He's like 45 months and shit. I'm like, damn, how old is that? You got to sit here and go 12, 24, 36, and then you got to add the rest of them and try to figure that shit out. So, yeah.
Don't do me like that. It's just over 2 years.
I'm like two and a half years, I guess. How many months is that? So 24.
2.5 would be 30 months.
Wow. Let's see.
Gay kid. I don't know how I feel about that, but okay.
No, I'm just playing, man. I'm just messing with you. So, yeah, no, definitely a huge inspiration in the community. And we live for your stories, especially Step Class. I think that's phenomenal. And it's hip hop, it's music. And I think that a lot of people don't have the true success that they really want, because if they like me, they look at working out as a form of punishment. I still view it that way. So I had to find things that I enjoy doing that also happens to work out the body. And that's what helped me along. So I ride bikes. That's my biggest thing. I love to get out on the trail and ride a bicycle. I did it as a kid a whole lot. And as an adult, I wasn't able to do that because I was too overweight. And so once I started to lose the weight, I got back out there, and I was just like being a kid again, and it's just, that's what I enjoy doing. Me personally, I don't enjoy somebody saying, I'm going to run 10 inches on. Fuck that. I look at running, it's like, fuck, man. Only thing Hey, only thing I used to chase back in the day was an ice cream truck, like my man LaVille Crawford said. That's it, you know. We finna go to McDonald's, I'm running to the car. That's about it. Yeah. You gotta find things that you enjoy, and you look like that's something that you really enjoy doing, because, I mean, you be getting it.
I love it. And that's like the most recent thing I've added to my routine. So I really do love it. It's funny because if my friend hadn't have started, or she became an instructor in like July, and I only went to the first class to support her, you know. But it's like a big part of my routine now. It's crazy how that happens. But yeah, I love it.
So how long did it take you to get the routine down? And is it the same? Are the routines based off the songs? Or how the hell does that even put that all together? Because I would be out there fucking it up. I'd be spinning one way. I'm still on the trying to get the first step.
It's definitely a process. So like, there's different moves, obviously, some more basic than others. And then in certain moves, you can like replace with others. So you kind of have to work your way up. I'd say probably like, maybe 2 to 4 classes, you should be comfortable enough to like get through the class. And then, you know, I try to learn something new every week.
Okay.
Basically, to make myself a little better. But yeah.
You're a pro at that shit. I don't know why you're sitting there trying to.
People hit me up saying like, oh my gosh, you getting it. And I'm like, do y'all not see my instructor? Because I'm definitely like just getting into intermediate step. Definitely not advanced. Like, it gets crazy.
Well, you know, to somebody on the outside looking in, it looks like you're an advanced person. I mean, seriously.
I guess.
Yeah, you don't give yourself enough credit. I think you are killing it, and you are, I mean, that's all kudos, seriously.
Oh, thanks.
Job well done. Now, going back early on to the, you know, beginnings, you had VSG on in August of 2019, mm-hmm. and everybody has a breaking point. And what was your breaking point? You're laughing. I mean, because everybody's story is different, because I know what mine was, and we can get into that in a minute, but I probably would laugh at what mine was too. So I'm really anxious to know what yours is, because you just immediately start laughing.
When you say breaking point, you mean like the final decision to have surgery?
What's the final straw that said, hey, for you to say, okay, Shan, we need to make a fucking change? Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of used to take pride in being a healthy big girl, you know, healthy on paper, I guess we'll call it. And at like 27, maybe 28 years old, I started having issues with my blood pressure.
Okay.
And that's kind of what scared me into it, because they were talking, you know, daily medication for who knows how long. And I'm not even 30. I was scared, you know, because you get on medication and then you got to take medication for something else. And it's a side effect in there. It's just once you're on that spiral, it's hard to ever be healthy again, you know? So that's what woke me up. That's what did it for me.
And it's crazy that you mentioned that, because in my 20s, early 20s, I was immediately, you know, I was put on blood pressure medicine. And of course, we know that's, you know, damn near predetermined for Black people in general, that, hey, you're going to have high blood pressure. Even people that are not overweight have blood pressure issues, because it's just, it's genetic and it's passed down. It's, you know, it's based off of what we're eating. And I was terrible with eating. And of course, morbidly obese. So it was inevitable that I was going to be on some type of maintenance drug. And that started, how you explain that is how my whole situation went. From one to the next drug, to the next drug. And one drug started a domino effect of other things. And people wonder why why people are not wanting to take these medicines. And I ended up with something else totally different outside of having high blood pressure issues because of the medicine that I was taking.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. But my doctor prescribed it knowing full well that this side, one of the side effects is that it causes this. And I'm not afraid to say what it is. I mean, I was taking blood pressure medicine. And of course, as you get more and more overweight, the higher your blood pressure goes. So then they add more and more medicine. They increase the dosage. And then they add, I was on 3 blood pressure medicines.
Oh my gosh.
One of the blood pressure medicines that I was on is diuretic. It's hydrochlorothiazide. Okay. And hydrochlorothiazide is a proponent that will cause an individual to have gout.
Wow.
So here it is. I have gout, but me being overweight, I'm thinking, oh, well, man, hell, okay, you're just a fat ass and you eat all this fucking meat. So you gave it to yourself. But then somebody else kind of hit me to it and it was like, nah, bro, what medicine are you taking? And so I started going through the medicines that I was taking. And it was like, fact check hydrochlorothiazide. So I Googled it. I started reading it. In the fine print, this medicine can cause gout.
That's crazy.
And when I asked my doctor about it, she's like, oh yeah, it can cause it. But then you're also prescribing me another medication to treat the gout. So here I am.
Frustrating.
Or, you know, I've graduated, and then I had acid reflux, I had GERD, so I've graduated to 6 pills a day.
Mm.
And I'm not even 30 yet.
Right.
And this goes on for many, many years, and we'll jump into the damage
sometimes
that it
causes. For life. It's crazy.
Absolutely. It is. It absolutely is crazy, so... And we can kind of jump into some of that a little bit later, because me and you had a conversation about the after effects, even with weight loss surgery. And I've posted about this, about, you know, it does not grant you immunity from damage that you may have already caused.
Yeah.
And that's part of what this community is about, or what it should be about, is trying to prevent and help others from even going down this road. So now back to you and your journey. So, all right, so you found out about your blood pressure, and so what was the next step? I mean, did you seek out bariatrics, or was it other things involved before you even got to that point?
It was kind of in the back of my head already. So just to give you some background, I've always been overweight, like even as a kid, obese as a kid, not like, you know, once I got grown or whatever. So I feel like it's a little different experience for someone like that versus someone who kind of gained as an adult, you know? But I had already tried and lost weight successfully multiple times. I say probably like 3 or 4 times in my life, I was able to lose like 40 to 70 pounds on my own, and just kind of bouncing back and forth between 300 and 200 pounds. So the last time that I put on all this weight, I was kind of like fed up. I have multiple close friends, like decade long friendships, where we shared a job, same insurance, and they both had the procedure. And that's really what made me not be fearful. I feel like prior to seeing them go through it, I hate to say it, but I didn't want to have the surgery. I felt like, no, I want to lose it naturally, or I'm not going to lose it at all. And that doesn't work for people, you know, especially in the Black community, you know what we hear, right? Oh, I got a who did that and she regained all the weight. And, you know, that's how we do, whatever. So up until seeing my close friends go through it, and I mean close enough for me to say, like, you know, get the nitty gritty. That's really what made me decide to go this route. I'm glad I did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I heard all the negative, the naysaying. I mean, even before I even mentioned it, I didn't even mention it to people, but I just always hear people talking about it, you know, saying that this was bad. And then I was afraid of it because I didn't want to have surgery. You know, I didn't know if I would make it. You know, that was right. My deal. And best thing I could have ever done for myself. I mean, shit. You know, to be, you know, in the position I am now is amazing.
Yeah, damn right.
It feels good, and we should speak about it more. And even though people can be so negative online, and, you know, be like, oh, you posted this and you posted that, and you just, you know, they try to make you feel bad for celebrating your successes And I don't get that.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that, especially for the women in the weight loss community. I tell everybody pop shit. Like, a lot of us have never been able to wear these types of clothes. We've never even been able to shop and not leave broken. Do you understand what I'm saying? For your whole life, basically.
Absolutely.
Like, it's
Absolutely.
Definitely to live it up and show it off now, period. You know, within reason.
I don't. I mean, I really don't, because for so many years I spent ostracized. And like you said, I was obese since I was a kid, you know, 8, 9 years old. Here I am. I'm fat, you know, fat KC, because my nickname, childhood nickname, was KC, my first and middle initial. And my grandmother started calling me that. And then, you know, other people would put fat in front of it. So I was just fat KC, you know, here comes fat KC, you know, it's just an embarrassment, blah, blah, blah. And the things that I may have been celebrated for back then was not the things that I really wanted to be celebrated for. You know, of course, you know, smart kid, doing his work. Most fat kids are, you know, because they gotta compensate in other areas.
Exactly.
To get the love that they are trying to get, you know, outside of being looking a certain way, you know, and it just is what it is. And so you think back and you're like, okay, now, fuck that. I'm doing, and people say it all the time, kid, you do the most. I haven't done enough, in my opinion.
Agreed.
You know,
that's something that kind of I feel like is partially specific to the Black community too, right? Because I don't know a Black child that was raised to be like, oh, I'm beautiful, to be saying that about themselves, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm worthy. Like, we're not raised like that. Our Black parents are typically very careful about being overly confident. They want to make sure you don't turn out arrogant. Right. And that self-love piece, I feel like, is missed a lot of the time. Now that I have it.
Oh, no, okay. Absolutely.
Nobody's about to take it away.
You're damn right. But you know where it comes from with Black people, and it's a generational curse that's passed down, but it's because of the whole thing with slavery, and then from slavery being abolished, going into civil rights, Black people were to be seen and not heard. So a Black person that was overly arrogant could be killed by a white person who was going to hate on that, because they feel like, and I'm just going to put it out there and say it because this is what they say it. And then, you know, people might take offense to this. I don't really care. But they'd be like, oh, this nigga think he too much. He's better than everybody else. So we're going to kill him. So in order to keep us from going through that, then the parents or our grandparents and their parents before them try to mold them to be like, hey, this is how you have to navigate through the earth, through, you know, so you don't get killed. So, yeah, you are beautiful, but you can't go out there and publicly say that.
Right. Don't act like it, though.
Right. You know, so, and that's just, and it's unfortunate, and it's just passed on, and, you know, and it's frowned upon for some of the things that some of us in the community probably do now. Like, my grandmother was here, she'd be like, boy, you can't, you need to stop that, you know. You got to cut that out.
Yeah. I'm sure mine would be saying the same thing.
Absolutely. But, hey, you know, I feel great, and no, I can't let nobody stunt my growth from this feeling, because it's long overdue.
Yeah.
But on the flip side is, now I want to know how you feel about this too. I sometimes get angry because I feel like now with the love that I have been getting, which I have never gotten as a kid, it's almost like this is the way society is set up, and this is the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to get any love as a fat kid. You're not supposed to get love because this is how you're really supposed to look.
Right. Unfortunately, I would agree, especially as a woman, because, like, I told you, since a kid, I've been overweight. So the normal dynamic of, like, you know, men approaching a woman or women approaching women in public and the normal, like, dating or hollering, whatever you want to call it, I really have never experienced that. Most women are dealing with that every time they leave the damn house, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So, like, now it's like, I don't even want to go to the grocery store by myself. I don't want to go to the gas station specifically, but it's like, it's awkward as hell. And I'm not built for it, I feel like, you know, because I haven't had to deal with it my whole life. But I mean, it's sad knowing that, like, damn, no one has, I've never had this many people hold a door for me or cover my gas or, oh, I got it, you can go ahead. Like, things that you would think are just normal, you know, Southern courteous things to do.
Absolutely.
I'm like, none of this was really happening before. What can I attribute it to besides the weight loss?
That's it.
Even with coworkers holding doors and shit. It's just crazy.
And that's the part that pisses me off, because that tells me that they didn't have any respect for me as a kid 3 years ago. There was no respect. There was nobody going to hold any doors. That was going to welcome you to come over and, you know, hey, come, you know, you're at a group function or whatever. Hey, come sit over here at our table. Oh, you know, yeah. Normally I would just find a table to sit at, and whoever just happened to didn't have any fucking where else to sit would just come sit. And then that's who the table would be. And like you said, with people holding the door for you,
going to shop,
you know, people damn near tripping over their own feet to come over and help you.
I didn't get any of that. I just didn't realize how many things about being over, or how being obese was affecting so many different areas of life. Like, it literally affects every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as experience is concerned.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, now I'm experiencing everything again, new, if that makes sense. You know?
It's like you, and I attribute weight loss surgery, and once you hit the maintenance stage of being born again, it's the rebirth.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to experience a lot of first. And it's crazy. I mean, and it's not going to always be good. It's going to be bad too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's going to be bad. So, and that's the side of it that people need to know about. And that's not to deter anyone from going out and doing it, because obviously you need to be healthy in order to be here.
Yeah.
But you need to know what you're getting yourself into. And that's another piece for the mental health side of it that so many people skip. They skip that part. They want to jump to the end. Everybody wants to jump to the end. You know, everybody wants to get to the end of the story, because they know that's the happily ever after, so to speak. That's not the case. Because any story that, you know, from childhood, now you're going to read it, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of shit that's going to happen. It's going to be some bad shit in the middle. But, you know, if you can thumb to the back of the book, you can read about all the good shit. And that's what people see a lot of times. So just like now, when I first started my journey, I got more followers than I had in the beginning. And with that, a lot of the people that are joining now are seeing me in the maintenance phase.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily seeing us in the phase when we were going through the bullshit.
Right.
You know, a lot of people in the weight loss community, they see that too. And they're like, oh, man. You know, they might see me post, and I know I kind of overkill. I post the shit a lot. I'm drinking these margaritas and whatever, whiskey sours and whatever else the fuck I've been drinking. And people be like, man, when am I going to be able to drink again? I didn't get off the table and start drinking. That didn't happen like that. And, you know, that's the part that people need to be aware and cognizant of, because they think that, okay, well, kids eating hot wings, then shit, as soon as I get through, I can't wait to go back to it.
Yeah, learning what you can tolerate once you're in the maintenance phase is, you know, there's some fun to it, because I really haven't been able to enjoy the stuff I can enjoy now since before surgery, just keeping it a buck. But that is why I struggle with sharing, like, my intake, my food and stuff regularly, because if someone is pre-op or recently post-op, I don't want to be encouraging them to have 6 shots of Crown. Like, you know how I do. So.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to send the right message. Like, life will be life again eventually, right?
Absolutely. It's greater later.
Work your way back after the surgery, so.
Yeah, and that's a process. Just like getting the weight off is a process. Getting back to some of the things, and I said some, not all of the things that you used to do, is a process within itself too. So I mean, people see Kev at Papa Do's and shit. Yeah, I mean, nah, fuck yeah, I go in there, I eat, you know, whatever, but I can't eat all of that. And, you know, I still do my thing the way I'm supposed to. I start off drinking first, but then after that, I'm gonna sit there and wait until I can eat.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm sipping and then I'm eating. I'm sipping. I don't do that anymore. I just don't. Some people in the weight loss community do go back to eating and drinking at the same time.
I don't know how. Oh, like it's physically uncomfortable for me to have liquid and solid in there at the same time.
Like, and we all slip up sometimes, right? You know, you might catch yourself, oh, shit. And it's uncomfortable as hell for me.
Yeah.
I can't tolerate. I mean, but I never have, because I followed that. My doctor said it was for life. So I took that as his word, because I didn't want to fail. Because I looked, like you said, you went through so many things where you lost weight. I remember I was going to boot camp. I lost 60 pounds, turned around and gained that shit back and probably added 50 more on top of that. You know, I was working out, you know, I was doing different things. I would lose 20, 30 pounds in there. I gained it all back. You know, I fell off the wagon so much. I said, man, I felt like this was my last ditch effort. So I don't want to fail this. So give me the blueprint, give me my manual, and let me go through it. And I follow it. And people always ask me, well, kid, what do you do? I follow my doctor's and my bariatric team's plan, period. That's it. You know, I'm able to enjoy things now because I set myself up for success, and everybody else can do it too. But you got to do it according to what your doctor tells you to do.
Yeah, that's hard. I'm sure you do too. Get a lot of people asking for like advice and what do you think I should be eating? What should I be doing? And I always send people back to their doctors.
Well, you have to, because they're not medical professionals.
Right. I can't advise you medically, you know? But I think it's important also, like, as you get further out, obviously you need to stick to whatever your surgeon has advised, but learn your body. Take that time to like really learn, like, you know what, when I had this, I was bloated the next day. Or when I tried this, I had a headache. Or, you know, just kind of learning what really agrees with you and what doesn't. And I say that because the plans that these doctors give us, they're like for everyone, you know, but we're not all the same. It's just the norm. And so you still kind of have to make it your plan, if that makes sense. And I don't feel like everybody does that. As far as the amount of protein and stuff, like, listen to your body too, is all I'm trying to say. Don't blindly listen to the doctor. You feel me?
You got to educate yourself, and because you got to know that, of course, the doctor is going to do whatever's in his best interest too. The same thing with routine, with medicines and stuff like that. You have all these reps that come to these doctors' offices, and their job is to sell medicine, to make money. And guess what? So the doctor's going to turn around and sell these medicines that these reps are coming in, because guess what? They're getting paid off of it too. So same thing with bariatric doctors. They have vitamin reps that come in that sell all these protein shakes and all these vitamins and stuff that's supposed to be specifically for bariatric patients. So guess what? They putting this in there and they're putting it a part of their package, but it might not necessarily work for you genetically. And we just talked about that briefly not too long ago. And I definitely want to kind of touch on that, because a lot of people in the community rely on manufactured protein. Be it whey protein in powdered form or protein shakes or protein bars and stuff like that. And I'm not gonna lie, I was on them heavily myself in the beginning. But I just found, for me personally, that they were attributing to me stalling. I was replacing meals with protein shakes. I was doing snacks, and then I was doing the protein bars. I was on board with all these different brands and just, you know, going protein crazy. Seriously, I was just on them. I was trying them all, you know, and no matter how bad they sucked or no matter how bad they tasted, I felt like I gotta do this because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I'm like, but my numbers aren't moving. You know, I start off really good. I'm losing. Then it started to slow down. I'm like, but shit, I'm not even 6 months, so I shouldn't be this slow. And this is where you gotta take the moment out to reevaluate and, you know, put it on paper, write down what you're eating, what you're doing every day.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, is going to be in, the proof is going to be in the pudding. It's going to tell you what you write down, what you journal is going to tell you where you're going wrong. And for me, it all kept coming back to the protein. And so I weaned myself off of it, and I cut it off altogether. And then I go to getting protein from, you know, my lean meats, my fish, my chicken. Of course, everybody know I love chicken. I'm a chicken head, blah, blah, blah. you know, and I started eating real food, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm getting protein from the source, not manufactured protein. And then guess what? Still working out and doing everything else that I was supposed to be doing, it just started falling.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this really what it was? Is it a fluke? And then I just kept following this same routine. And shit, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds. And then next thing you know, I'm 100 pounds down. And it went from there. And I haven't looked back. I don't do protein, me personally, I'm not to each his own, but I don't do protein shakes. I don't do those bars. I was buying them all, Built Bars. I'm, you know, wifey looking at me like, you fool, you got all this shit in the pantry and you're not eating any of it, because it sucked to me. It was nasty. Yeah,
I have to say, that shit is disgusting. Nobody hates anybody who likes that stuff. And like early in, it's no way around it. Okay. You have to eat to live. So you have steaks, okay. But like long-term, lifelong, most of that shit is chemicals. It is what it is, you know? And so what does that look like 30, 40 years down the road, you know?
Right.
That's the part that doesn't sit right with me. Like, I just want to be on as many whole foods as mm-hmm. possible.
It's not a sustainable lifestyle past, I think, a few months post-op, in my personal opinion. Yeah. But I'm not a doctor, but that's just my personal opinion.
I still take a day every now and then, but mm-hmm. that's honestly because if you don't have a certain amount of protein and you lift the way I do, you yeah. can't walk weak. You know what I'm saying? The protein is like what repairs the muscles. So
absolutely.
I have to, it's a fine line, you know, but mm-hmm. the 120 grams of protein a day, you can have that shit. I would never, right. I would no. never do that again.
Yeah. And that's just, I think a part of the growth process. Yeah. And that's just what I can share that worked for me. I mean, like I said, it might not work for you. It might not work for you, you know, it might help somebody. But that's why we always refer people back to their doctors and bariatric team, because you are not going to say, you're not going to be able to come on here and clown me and say, man, I just get ass and, you know, whoop-de-whoop and this happened and this happened and that shit happened. No, I'm not a doctor, and then I'm not going to come on here and publicly say it in a forum, and then you can turn around and sue me for liability. You know, I'm not here. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's why I don't provide any advice. And I really don't like to share too in depth about how I'm eating, because I don't want anyone to see that and do that and hurt themselves. You know, right. You just never, like, it's hard.
But now, for me, though, it's kind of like a gift and a curse, because I've based some of my life now on, you know, because I cook.
Yeah.
Part of my life. That's what I do, this seasoning and stuff like that. So all that's part of another business within itself that has come from this lifestyle yeah. and the changes that I have made. And, you know, so it's kind of like a gift and a curse. I put this out there, and then new people come along and say, man, how can you eat that? You're going to damage your palate. No, the fuck I ain't. I'm not eating all that. You know, sometimes I get a little pissed, but then, you know, I have to kind of back up, pump the brakes, kid, because the old kid like to come out, the old kid like to pop off.
Yeah, that's honestly why I stay away from it, because I just don't want to, you know, I don't want any negativity on my page at all. And I just, that is one of those things that's like hard to avoid when we're talking food. You know how it is.
Oh, absolutely. Now, going back into just what we're eating, period, plant-based. Yeah, definitely. And Shane is laughing because, you know, a few weeks back, I kind of stepped out on faith and told people that I have been diagnosed with early heart disease. And being the caring person that Shane is like, hey, you know, I guarantee you, if you adapt this way of life and give me a certain amount of time, you go back with your blood results and see how that changes. Because, you know, all this stuff that they want to pump into your system is not good for Black people, period.
Yeah.
I've been to that a little bit.
So, one thing I'll say is a lot of my decisions around weight loss surgery had to do with my family history as well. The whole blood pressure thing scared me because hypertension runs on both sides, high cholesterol runs on both sides, diabetes, both sides, cancer, both sides. You know what I'm saying? So I needed to take it seriously. But given that I've had so many family members deal with this type of stuff prior to surgery, I was interested in kind of figuring out, like, is there any holistic help? You know what I'm saying? As far as making those things better. And I feel like your doctor would never tell you that. Typically, when you receive a heart disease diagnosis, it is that this is non-reversible. All we can do is give you medication to try not to make it worse. You know, diet and medication to try to keep you where you are. But a whole food plant-based diet will reverse it, period. And I would love for anybody to just try it and just see. Like, real talk, it will reverse it. It's hard to do, especially for people in the Black community, because it's just so far from how I feel like we were raised to eat. Mm-hmm. And it's expensive, you know? So low income families and stuff, like, what does that really look like? How do you even make it work? But that's the cure for most things, for your body to perform the way it's meant to naturally detox, naturally heal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, that's the key. So I've gone back and forth between like pescatarian mm-hmm. and full-blown plant-based or vegan. I don't say vegan because like that involves other stuff like leather and, you know, I very much still leather. So that's why I say plant-based instead. I mean, I don't know a company that makes tennis shoes or shoes that aren't leather. So it's kind of hard for me to fully take that on. But plant-based eating is and basically...
Jokingly, I can't see you rocking some Bobos or some bullshit.
No. It's not for me. I can't quite do that. And then like makeup products and stuff, that there's some issue with that too. But as far as the diet is concerned, it's basically no animal products at all. No dairy, no egg, no meat, no fish. Only natural things that grow from the earth.
Okay.
There's still protein. I feel like that's what we hear. Like, oh my goodness, how are you gonna get your protein in? But people forget that the cows and the chickens and shit that we eat, they eat plant protein. They don't fucking eat meat. Okay, so by eating meat, we're eating metabolized plant protein. If they can live off the shit, we can live off of it. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No one ever talks about it, though.
And I really got to take it seriously now. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm human. Okay, I make plenty of mistakes, more than most. And this is probably going to be the hardest battle. I thought the obesity was a hard battle, but to try to navigate through this because it's a scary process. And I'm just starting this process of trying to find out what all is going on in my heart. I got a cardiologist appointment in a couple of weeks. Stress test, all this stuff that has to be done just to see where I am. And then to try to be here to live, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but it's going to be hard because you're talking about a brother that loves some chicken. You know, I love a good steak from time to time. But I will say this, it can be done, because if I could turn around and drop 245 pounds with the assistance of a tool and me putting in the work, I can do this as well, because myself, you, Shan, and thousands of other people that are part of this community have done what they said couldn't be done. And that's what I got to keep in the front, not in the back of my mind, but in the front. I got to keep that up here because I every day I wake up and I think about it. I'm like, okay, what am I eating today? And I get terrible. With the kind of work that I do, I make terrible choices because sometimes I'm at the mercy of what's in my area.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, I'm putting it out here. Kid actually went to the store yesterday and Kid bought him a new lunchbox, and Kid is going to start taking his fucking lunch to work this week.
Good. That's a good step in the right direction.
You know, it's some meat involved in that right now, but we're working on the transition. And you said,
well, you know, my goal is never to shame anybody who chooses to have meat or whatever it is that you want to have. Yeah. I just would like to shine light on the fact that the way that the food industry is set up, the way that the medical industry is set up, you know, even down to pharmaceuticals, like, just do your research.
Sure.
You know, especially if you're in a position where you've lost the weight and something still doesn't feel right, or something in your blood work, you know what I mean, is off. Just do the due diligence to just look into it for me. Okay, that'll make me feel better.
Absolutely. No. And it's good to have, you've got to have a great support system. I always say, get yourself a tribe, you know, get yourself a tribe of people that's going to hold you accountable, hold your feet to the fire. And I think I have a good tribe, you know, a lot of people in the community that they on my ass, man, you know, not just at home, you know, here at home, the wife and the kids, but I got a lot of people that are on my ass. Like, you got to be here. So you got to do better, you know? And I just go, it just goes without saying that some of the damage that you cause to yourself can hurt you long term. Yeah. And here I was at 44, having weight loss surgery. So a lot of damage I had already done to myself. You know, whatever's in these arteries was already there. So it's not like, you know, weight loss surgery is going to come in and save you from a lot of that stuff. You know, you can still have a lot of those issues.
Yeah. And I feel like you don't hear about that much.
You don't hear that at all.
Scared, because we need to hear it. You know what I mean? People need to know what's up. It's not really just the number on the scale. You know, like, the last thing we want is to go through all of that and still succumb to these diseases, any of them.
Right.
You know?
And at first I was angry. You know, I was like, damn, you know, I didn't come this far to come this far. I didn't want to share that because, you know, I've been so used to people seeing the good. You know, I do share some of the bad, of course, obviously. But I mean, I share the bad when it comes to, you know, what I'm going through VSG-wise, mentally, and stuff like that. But then to come on and say, damn, I got heart disease, that might tell, people might not even want to go through it. I think I'm like, I'm still going to be fucked anyway. Look at Kid. You know, Kid lost 245 pounds. But people need to hear it, because you need to know that it's not going to grant you immunity.
Right. It's literally just a tool. It's not magic.
That's it. I mean, you know, it's no magic beans, you know, no Jack and the Beanstalk. That type of shit don't exist. It just is what it is. So now, moving forward, though, this is in the early stages. We kind of give y'all a little brief synopsis of what, you know, Stan has proposed. And I think it's a great thing, and it's a challenge that I would like, you know, other people to jump on board with us with this, and trying to, you're going to learn about a plant-based diet and go through the process of trying to make the transition to going into it. And so, yeah, we're not asking anybody to quit cold turkey, obviously, because I can't. There's no fucking way that I'm going to start tomorrow eating cardboard sandwiches. And that's the joke I make.
Cardboard? Oh my gosh.
That's just the joke that I make about it. But no, seriously, you know, it's a process. And it's something that Shane is working through. And I'm forever grateful that she would even consider doing something like this. So I'll let Shane kind of expound on it a little bit more.
Yeah. So we want to do some kind of plant-based challenge in the new year. I'm thinking like a maybe like 6 weeks of like slowly weaning off meat and dairy to the plant-based diet. I'm still trying to figure out like what will we measure to determine a winner, because this is really not about fat loss or weight loss. It's a feeling. You know, and it, of course, is something that probably will more so reflect in blood work, being honest with you. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly how we're going to do it, but hopefully if we do it together, that'll make it easier for us. And I think once everyone sees how they feel when they're eating plant-based, that'll be enough to make some change overall.
Sure. So, Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, because I think that's duly needed. And I think that I'm willing to do whatever it takes, obviously. And I've done it already to keep my health in order. And I'm trying to stay here a little bit longer. I'm ready for that dirt nap.
Yeah. Hey, you don't even have no grandkids.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
I don't want any.
Well, I don't know how old all your kids are. I'm sorry. I'm not putting that on you too soon. But I'm saying we need kids to be around for the grandkids and the great grandkids.
Absolutely. So, I got more work to do. I got more things that I want to do. I got more life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's all about. So I appreciate you for definitely, helping a brother out and trying to keep me here, man.
Of course.
It's crazy. And but it's great to have a great people in your corner that actually, you know, care about your well-being genuinely, you know, and if you don't have that, you need to figure out what you're doing wrong, because you definitely need that in your life. Seriously.
Definitely.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does. So going back to you, Shan, as far as, so we've kind of touched on food and eating and all that, relationship wise, how does things work now with you and your wife and this whole journey? How is this encompassing? And because I know how it is for me. And yeah, so I kind of want to hear, you know, what it is for you, because mine can be crazy sometimes as far as, you know, especially with social media.
Yes. Oh, gosh. So me and wifey are good. One thing I will say, though, and just perfect segue as far as talking about your support or village. You know, Chaz has always been down to eat how I'm eating. Like, if I can't have this in the house, then she won't have it in the house. You know, if she'll go with me to the gym, I'm having a hard day, I'm like, babe, if you come with me, I'll go. You know, she shows up for me in those kinds of ways, which I recognize that everybody's partner can't. Or even if, you know, you have kids in the house, obviously that's going to look different. Like, it's not realistic to never have chips when you have kids. So, you know, our life is a little different when it comes to that. But for the most part, we eat the same, which is really helpful to me because I still lack self-control. So I need that. We're able to be active together, and that's something that I've never had in a relationship before. Like any type of gym routine, you know, so that's nice. And then as far as like life is concerned, I feel like I had all of these like big girl stipulations is what I like to call them, as they pertain to like, what can I wear? Which kind of determines where can we go? Do I even feel like going out in public? You know, what does date night look like at 315 fucking pounds? There wasn't any, you know? So now it's like, ooh, I want to put on a heel and dress. Where can we go? What can we do? I know that's all improved, you know, the relationship and intimacy as well. You know, big girls have all these rules. I don't need to go into detail, but you know, it's nice to have more freedom as it pertains to when and where and how, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So all that stuff is fun and new. Going really well.
Exciting, right?
Yeah.
It definitely is. It could definitely be exciting. It's refreshing to be uninhibited, I should say.
Yes.
In your relationships, I mean, period. Just in life, general. Because you think about it, you go out, like you said, even going out is a daunting task. It's an overweight person. You go to a restaurant, and first thing you want to know, unless you know the restaurant well, you know if you can fit in them damn booths or not.
Look, or you know, the high chairs, having to sit in the high little bar chairs for long periods of time. Listen.
Right. Worried about if they're gonna collapse and then your blood circulation cutting off and shit, your damn
look, eat numb, okay?
You try to stand up and you about to bust your ass trying to walk up out of there because you know the circulation's been cut off.
Yeah, it's crazy the shit that you worry about when you're obese. Like,
and you know what? it's crazy because I still go to restaurants and I be thinking, I'm like, man, that look like a tight ass boot. And it probably is somebody overweight.
Yeah.
It doesn't dawn on me. Then if the light pops on, damn, fool, sit your dumb ass down because you're not that big no more, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that no more. You can slide right on in there.
Yeah, you know.
And, remember, like, who ever been in a booth where the table is, like, secure to the floor? Oh, so, like, man. You can't scoot it back. Listen, the struggle, okay?
Like, I broke the damn thing off the wall in Chili's before. I pushed that motherfucker off my stomach, not realizing that it was attached to the wall. I'm like, God damn, I can't breathe in this motherfucker. And then you're like, oops, and I said, oh shit, let me get up and move to another spot. And then it was kind of like hanging and shit. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it's a whole new life. I'm grateful for that.
Definitely. So as far as, and I talked about this a little bit earlier on my feed about non-scale victories. I think that's important. Big ones and small ones. So out of the non-scale victories that you've had, what are the ones that mean the most to Shane?
I would say confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a struggle my whole life, you know? So feeling like I can be proud of myself and like happier, I should say, with myself, that is definitely, I'm most grateful for that, you know, outside of being healthier, obviously. But my next biggest one is definitely heels, okay? Because I basically could only wear wedges. Do you know what a wedge is, Kat? You know the difference?
I know the wedges.
Okay,
about the big girls and wedges.
Right. That's like an auntie mama type of shoe, okay? So to block
it
for all of your 20s, listen, I want every stiletto I can find. Do you hear me? And I'm not taking them off. Nice.
You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself.
Yes.
You owe it to yourself, seriously. Because you have graduated from those usher boy, you done graduated from the church lady usher boy 12.
Never another kitten heel, none of that shit, okay?
That's so funny, yeah. And I know all these shoes because, yeah, I just know, you know, because my wife was talking about it before, and this being around women.
I know why you keep you on your toes, yeah.
Yeah, she can,
that
you know,
shit, okay? Yeah, those are my faves.
It's great, though. I mean, and that's great. And, you know, you could go out with confidence and then the confidence to pull that type of stuff off.
Yeah.
And, I'm confident enough to wear pants that, you know, I never thought I would be able to fit in, and I don't give a shit anymore. You know, I'm that 45 plus guy that's walking around in fucking skinny jeans. I don't give a fuck.
Period. You deserve, kid. You deserve. Yeah. Okay. Tell us shit.
No, you're damn right. And that's what's most important now is that, you know, the confidence is there. Overweight individuals lack that. They just, you know,
not all, because you know we got some people in the community that just have always,
yeah,
and I'm so envious of that. Like, I just could never, I never got there, but shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. I put on a front a lot, though. You know, I was a dude that you probably thought was brimming with it because I was the life of the party, I was the jokester, but that was my that was my routine to deflect off of me. Most fat people are naturally funny. And they are the people that, you know, people want, love to be around.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to go somewhere. We're going to eat good. We're going to laugh our ass off, you know. So I had a lot of friends, a lot of female friends that, you know, just want to hang around, kid. I was friend zoned a lot. You know, I'm that dude in the friend zone. You know? I hear all the women problems and shit. You know, oh, he did me like this. He did my fuck. Do you think I want to, you know,
right.
Okay, I'll listen, yeah, you know.
Give you advice for this other nigga. That's
right. That's it. That's what it was. And I mean, you know, it sucked. Deep down, it really sucked because, you know, you're like, man, really was feeling you over here, but you talking about this motherfucker. And I'm like, you fuck about him. I'm supposed to, you know, patch this shit up. Nah, that ain't what I want to do. So, yeah, you know, life can be crazy for people that are overweight. Yeah. Definitely. So what's next for Shan? What kind of, you know, I know you were into working out really heavy. What are your goals? What are your, you know, your dreams, your aspirations coming up? 2022 is right around the corner.
I guess I can drop this here since it's the podcast.
Oh, shit. We get an exclusive. This shit only happens on the Steve Believe the Hype podcast. I just want y'all.
I'm definitely in the process of getting my personal training license.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I want to get the group training license too.
Good for you.
And then, you know, kind of go from there. I think that's a need. I don't know of any trainer that has an understanding of like bariatric life.
No.
And that's usually the issue with training, right? You get a trainer and the first thing they say is you gotta have 1800 calories a day. How the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
I feel like there's a need there, and I'm like, you know, I found my passion in fitness, so I just want to spread it around, you know? So that's what's coming for me.
Definitely. Congrats. Kudos on that. Seriously, keep me in the loop on that, because you might have to be my virtual trainer, because Kid is going to have some issues in that working out department, because I can't always find the time. I won't make this time in there. It's just a fact of whether, you know, you let other things get in the way of, you know, what,
but
you know.
It's hard trying to make that a part of your routine. I get it. Mm-hmm. So once I'm official and legal, I'll let you know.
Bird is born. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, congratulations on that. I mean, it's well deserved. Well deserved. Okay. And I think you want to do well, as always. You have a lot of people that, whether you probably know it or not, and I'm sure you probably do know a lot, but they look to you. I mean, seriously. They're waiting for you to post, and they're, you know, they might not even see it. And the inspiration that you provide and others provide in this community is a valuable, valuable resource that a lot of us didn't have in the beginning on our journeys.
That's why a lot of us started these platforms. I'm sure, right? It's the same for you, but it, you know, there were very few people, even on, definitely on Instagram, but on YouTube also, like, mm-hmm. nobody that looked like us that was successful in sharing the nitty gritty, you know? So we need it.
We need more and more, you know, people to jump out and be inspirations, but do it for the right reasons. Be out there. You know, and I mean, it's cool. You know, if you can make a buck off of it, do it. You know, that's all a part of it too. And I know anybody would be lying if they said they wouldn't. But don't let that drive you.
Yeah.
Don't be a driving force that, you know, because it'll come out in a wash and people will see that side of you.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and this I think people can tell, but like some of us are shocked by the size platform we have. Like, never intended to be here. Like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't want to have myself, like, dated or weird.
it is. It's weird for me because I'm like, why the fuck do they even want to follow me? Because I'm ignorant sometimes. Majority of the time, I'm ignorant. You know,
I feel that way. You know? Like,
but I get it. A lot of people like the realness with you. People have told me that before. They're like, well, Kid, you're real. I mean, it's not the fact that I'm real. I'm just Kid. You know, it's just always who I've been.
Yeah.
You know? And I couldn't be anybody else. I wouldn't want to be.
Period.
So if you're along for the ride, I appreciate you. Hanging with your boy. Keep hanging with your favorite uncle, because I'm a fool. And gonna continue to be one. Well, you know what, Shan? I really have appreciated you taking out the time to chop it up with me and talk all things weight loss. We gotta, you know, definitely do this again. And who knows? I think I'm, you know, might incorporate a panel discussion. I'll bring on quite a few people. Because I think that this is needed, because we are the smallest minority in this weight loss community. And I think we need to see more and more people of color to step out and say, hey, this is what I have done. And a lot of people are hiding, you know, and I get it. Why? Because they don't want to be ostracized and be shamed for it. There's a lot more people in this. There's a lot more people of color that have had this than what we think.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just not saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. We'll revisit this again soon. And definitely, though, before we take off, I always ask, what words of wisdom or a piece of a hidden gem, or a gem from Shan that you could give to somebody who might be on the fence with starting their journey or who just getting started on their journey, you know, that might need to hear this seriously?
My gem is going to be to move your ass, whether you decide to have the surgery or not. Get up and move every day that you can. Don't take that shit for granted.
Absolutely. That's it, man. Hey, life is too short. It really is.
Yeah.
Before I get into my segue of, you know, on my soapbox, where can people find you if they're trying to, they're just hearing this for the first time and they want to know where they can find my girl Sleeve Shannon? Tell them where they can find you on all facets of social media.
Yeah, I only have an Instagram, no Facebook, nothing else right now. So it's just sleeved.shan, S-H-A-N.
That's it. You can find my girl there and check her out. Go check her out, seriously. Check out the workouts, the inspiration, you know, the funny, the wit. All of that is encompassed in what the inspiration that is provided by Shan. And I definitely say thank you for joining me on this first episode of the third season. I mean, this is like episode 63. So yeah, we in that. We in there.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And as always, you know, you can find me at Sleepily the Hype on Instagram, TikTok, for whatever reason. I think I'm over there too. You know, I got talked into that. You can find me there. It's crazy. I'm there. I think a few other places, but just the mainly, and you can find the podcast, of course, Sleepily the Hype podcast is on Apple, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcast fix, I guarantee you that it is there. Go find me there. And also, Hype Seasonings is the blend. Hype Seasonings is the company. The re-up is coming soon. Everybody want to know, they said re-up. Yeah, if you watched it, you know something about dope game. That's what the re-up is, baby. Re-up is coming. The season, I know y'all fiending for some Memphis City Blues. The re-up is coming. Plus, I'm about to debut another blend that is coming too, so I'm excited about that, and I got a bunch of things in the works. And so yeah, I'm saying, and I want to say this though, seriously, life is too short, life is too precious to be walking around carrying the weight of bullshit that you shouldn't be carrying. And I dropped a hashtag for y'all the other day, and it's I gotta, you know, I'm old, so I gotta think about what I can't give you the, I gotta give you the right order of the fucking letters. I'm sitting here on my fingers now. So it's hashtag OTSG, let that shit go. Seriously, let it go. Somebody wronged you. I didn't say forget it. Forgive them, but forgive them for yourself. Because, you know, it's no worse place or no worse position to be in for somebody to leave this earth and y'all had things left unsaid and it's fucked up. Because you can go and talk to an empty grave or a funeral and it's a shell of a body. They're not there. Mm. That's just a shell. So that's not going to give you the closure that you think you're going to get. So I'm just telling y'all, man, let that shit go. That's my words of wisdom, man. Yo, keep following your boy. Y'all go follow my girl, Shan. And hey, I look forward to the next episode of the podcast. And as always, baby, it's your boy, Kid. I'm signing off, your favorite uncle. Peace. Yo, go follow your boy on Instagram at Sleeve Believe the Hype. And you can find the podcast on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, like, and share it. And leave your boy some feedback too while you're at it. Thanks for enjoying the ride. Peace.